I wickered my toe this morning.
Now, like you trapped it in a sort of like straw effigy and burned it?
No, that's not wickering. Are you crazy?
I don't think I know wickering.
That would be wicker manning it, but it wouldn't be wickering.
Okay. So you put like a helmet with bees inside of it on your on your toe? Is that what it is?
Here's what happened. I woke up and I was getting dressed and I had some fluff on my toe.
Slow down on the parts about the toes, though.
Getting dressed. I don't want to give it out for free, but I was getting dressed and I had some fluff on my toe, whatever, lint, something. And so I did the old toe flick, the foot flick, as it were, you know, to like get it off. And I misjudged the placement of my laundry basket. Like full on kicked the laundry basket, with the side of my big toe.
I hate that.
And wicker plus toe. Not a good combination. I guess even like cheap wicker. Anyway, my toe got pretty fucked up.
Oh, man. I'm sorry to hear that.
Terrible way to start the morning.
And of all the sort of like injuries and ailments that you have discussed on the show, I would say this one is the most esoteric. Did you really need to tell us about? Like you drop a, you eat an egg sandwich that's so hot that the steam gets in your eyes, and then you get hit by a taxi or fall in an open manhole cover. And I'm like, yeah, that's
sure.
That's the spirit of the city, baby. But this is just you kicked your laundry basket.
Yeah, but like, how many people
need to? The people need to know.
I bled over this. How many people have bled from a laundry basket incident? Realistically speaking,
for sure, you're a special. You're a special sort. I don't know what you want me to say. I know this already about you. You'll find a way to hurt yourself on anything, Russ. I love that about you.
Yeah.
I can't believe that somebody's going to Photoshop a Wicker Man image and we're going to have to live with it on our Twitter timeline.
I don't even think that the injury story merits a Photoshop.
Well, I think it's going to be the Wicker Man poster, but where Nick Cage's face is, it's going to be a big bloody toe.
It's going to be rusted. Well, don't do the bloody toe.
Yeah,
you'll get kicked off.
And it's just, it was a one bad day in situation. I don't want to escalate it too much.
He's definitely never going to kick his basket again, dude. He's going to kick his basket tomorrow. This fucking guy. How do you still have all your toes?
Unknown.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Besties. I just decided to do the intro. This is the greatest and best video game podcast in the planet. Sometimes we talk about books and magazines and zoos.
No, but who are you?
Today we're talking about video games.
We got to at least do the like name introductions because that's the one thing that has remained unchanged
about it. So go ahead and say your name, Chris.
My name is Chris Plant, and I know the best game of the week.
Ooh, Chris Plant. Very short.
Yeah. Russ, why don't you go? Let's just fuck up the order as much as I can.
My name is Russ Frushtick, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the... Actually, I always say it like in contrast to Justin. I don't know if you've noticed that, where it's like, my name is Griffin McElroy. Like... But you can't do that because Justin's not here. But this is the Besties.
And it's a video game club that goes all year long, and just by listening, you are a member.
And this week, we're talking about all the games we've talked about so far this year, which is Elden Ring and some other ones. maybe we shouldn't tease it any more than that, because I'm looking at this list, and there's
a lot of games
here where I'm like, wow, great stuff. Did those really come out this year? Because I don't remember that, but I'm stoked to circle back on it.
It is hard to lift yourself out of the fog of Elden Ring, but we're going to try.
We're going to try,
and
Tarnished.
We're going to talk about hundreds of basically free games that you can get, and we'll talk about that in the second half. Okay, the first quarter of 2022 is not even over yet. Like, we're not even through March, but we felt like, hey, we should do it now because they put too many games into the first 2.5 months. They actually put too many.
Oops, all games.
And I would say this, game devs, and I know you guys aren't on the same team, but you should be for our enjoyment, we the gamers, maybe space them out a little bit fucking better next time. Huh? How do you feel? Maybe do that a little bit better next time so that we don't get like Elden Ring and Witch Queen and Horizon Forbidden West like all within like a 5-day period of each other.
I get that like small indies aren't necessarily in the same meetings as Electronic Arts bigwigs.
Right.
But you know who knows? The platform holders. Yeah. Steam knows. Xbox.
We the gamers certainly know.
And someone should, yeah, clue them in to not putting all the games out at the same time, because that's a drag. I mean, it's fun, but...
It's fun. It's weird, man. I feel like for, I don't know, going on a decade now, the first quarter of the year has been pretty fucking lit, like, release-wise. It's not just, this is ancient history, but it's not just, like, every November you get fucking 50 games that all drop all at the same time.
This year, I think, is a little weird, because sometimes we'll get, like, one or two very good games in January and February, and this year there were, like, a large number of them. I don't think there's ever in the history of me doing this has ever been a stronger March year, a month.
Wow. Like,
release-wise.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's go through this list and sort of... because a lot of time on this show, we are all guilty of playing a game for the episode and then not really spending any more of our very, very precious and few free time hours, personal hours, like actually playing them anymore. So I'd love to hear like if you all stuck with these things or not. What's the first one on the list?
The first one on the list is Nobody Saves the World, which was the great indie from Drinkbox Studios, the like wild where there was all sorts of classes we could play as a rat or a horse or a wizard. And we all really liked that, if I recall.
We did. This is becoming a reductive thing to say, and I understand that. But if it's on Switch, I feel like I would play this one a lot more because it's so inherently grindy. And I don't really have the kind of life anymore where I can't say that and play Destiny 2 at the same time. But this is the kind of game that I feel like I would groove on nonstop in a more sort of portable format. But
I think Steam Deck will also.
I was gonna say I haven't had to worry about that. Just run so silky smooth. So silky smooth on my
Griffin,
Steam Deck.
Where is your pre-order? What group
I'm
are
in
you
the
in?
Weird amorphous Q2 2022.
Yeah, that's me too. Yeah.
That which is like expected like availability date. And it's like that's so what does that even fucking mean, Gabe? Tell me what that means, Gabe.
Gabe, shave that beard and put those Switch Steam Decks out.
Did you see the video that Steam released of Gabe going door to door and delivering Steam Decks to people?
That's not real.
It's real for sure.
It's real.
And it's real. And most of the time, their reaction is like, oh, wow. Whoa, cool.
I would be terrified. I feel like if Gabe showed up to my door, I would be like, oh, Gabe's here to sell me a knife. Like, he's going to unroll some like, magic cloth.
He's working for Cutco. There'll be 30 blades.
And he will show me his whole knife collection. And then we'll spend, like, the next 4 hours talking about it. And you know what? The first 3 hours, I would be like, I have other things to do. But I think by the last hour, I'd be like,
hour
you know
four,
what? I'm actually pretty charmed.
Knife nut. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, sure. I think he could win me over. He seems to care so much.
He does. He does.
Y'all, Pokemon Legends Arceus. What a game. This is the game that I have not gone back and played as much as I want because Elden Ring has consumed my life. But this is the game that I have the most fondness for of like everything that we've played this quarter, where I get warm and cozy feelings about this game. And now that I know that new Pokemon is coming out, and it kind of is borrowing from this one, kind of, not all the way.
Well, kind of. It is open world in the way that Pokemon Legends Arceus is. It sounds like they are going back to a more traditional style of like catching Pokemon, which is sort of the biggest defining feature, I would say, of Arceus.
Yeah.
But it looks good. They got a duck with a fucking emo haircut, and you know I like that. I keep, this is one in my head that I keep saying I'm going to go back to when there's more time, but also I'm a father of two. So it's like, when is that?
Well, it will help when the release calendar gets a little less.
Yeah, that's hairy. That is a fair point.
We'll probably be doing like three episodes on it the next 2 months when there's nothing to talk about.
This is the game I'm most jealous of people who got like really into it. Cause I see people posting clips of like, you know, Snorlax coming and just, you know, fucking up their whole shop. I'm like, man, that looks fun. I want to be chased by a big Snorlax, but I didn't play that long.
Fresh, did you end up getting into it at all?
I played like 5-6 hours and I liked it, but it's not out of interest because I actually did enjoy it. But I just couldn't, I don't know. Kept getting pulled to other games.
I mentioned the warm and coziness of this game. It's hard to define this of it all, is I really just like the world, which is weird because the visuals, as we talked about in the episode, are not great, but there's something, I don't know, almost like nostalgic about the simplicity of it. Like,
sure.
Kind of like a Nintendo 64-ish game that's just a little prettier that, I don't know, it takes me back in a way that it's Nintendo. Maybe it was intentional, or maybe it just by accident and by dint of looking so bad ends up looking like the type of games that I played, you know, when I was a early teenager. What a game.
I like games where you just can see Pokemon just doing their thing out in the world. That's what I love about Pokemon Snap, is not so much the photo taking as much as it is like you feel like I am a fly on the wall in the habitat of these like imaginary creatures, and this, you know, they have gone to the lengths of establishing what their little ecosystem is like, and it's so zany. Like, I like that.
It's funny to think that a giant, a magnetized tank is a fly on the wall as it rolls through their house.
Sure. Yeah. A lot of Pokemon are not bothered until you get, like, right up on them.
Yeah.
I can't believe that the next game is on this list. Who put
why?
This here? Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection?
I put it there. Okay, so Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection came out on PS5. It was basically a bundle of Uncharted 4 and Uncharted Lost Legacy. And I feel like a lot of people played Uncharted 4, but Uncharted Lost Legacy is like an extremely strong, arguably one of the best, if not the best, Uncharted game that they've ever put together. Really great characterizations. The environment's really cool. And I feel like a lot of people missed it because it came at the tail end of the PlayStation 4's life cycle. And this seems like a really good opportunity to people kind of loop back on it. I know it's coming to PC as well, so that's exciting. But if you dig Uncharted and you never played The Lost Legacy, this is a very good excuse to do so.
I might actually, sir. I've always been curious about Lost Legacy. I've heard nothing but amazing things about it. I feel like the messaging for that game was kind of weird because I can't remember how many stories I read about, like, is it DLC? Is it standalone? Right. Do you have to have played 4 in order to...
It is definitely a standalone thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's really good.
Maybe I should go back and try it. I keep waiting for the Naughty Dog game that is like, oh, this is my sweet spot. Because I enjoy the stories in Uncharted, but I the gameplay just feels a bit repetitive to me. Mm. And then I enjoy the gameplay in Last of Us, but then the story is like a hellscape that I don't enjoy at all. I just surely
you don't get it. You don't get it, man.
That's true. That is true. I'm just a bad gamer. That's the thing.
Maybe we're the Walking Dead. Whoa. Do you know what I mean? Oh. Like that's sort of what it's about. I mean, maybe you'd like Keith the Thief, which was one of their first games. Naughty Dog did.
That was a game called Great Fall.
Game called Keith the Thief. I love Keith the Thief. And when's that revival coming? Please, Naughty Dog.
Nobody talks about it.
Nobody talks about Keith the Thief enough.
Griffin, did you play Ollie Ollie World? Or was that only Friday?
I played Ollie Ollie World. That game beats ass.
I didn't actually play it. I wanted to, but I didn't get around to it.
Just put that shit on your Switch. And then, like, every time I see, anytime I'm, like, between games on the Switch and have some, you know, time to kill away from my chunky boy PC, I just will, I will see the Olly Olly World thumbnail on the Switch UI and just be like, oh, don't mind if I do. Don't mind if I do pop in there for a few downhill jams. Thank you very much. Yeah, that game is perfect for just like dipping into for a half hour and doing some sick ass stunts while you keep like practicing the same line like over and over and over again. It's like the only Switch game I play with headphones on because the soundtrack is like part of the vibe in such a major way. It's exceptional, man. I think Olly Olly World is a pretty easy recommendation for virtually anybody. Henry loves it because I made the character look like me.
Yeah.
And he'll play the left stick and I'll play the right stick and he'll just make me eat shit over and over again. And he thinks it is so funny to watch me just ragdoll like 20 feet into like a, you know, a wood chipper or whatever.
That's the dream.
That is the dream.
Take that, daddy.
Take that, dad. Beef it.
Griffin, did you play Super Auto Pets?
No.
Oh my gosh, y'all.
Was that a Resting Jam or did we talk about that?
No, no. We've not really talked about it on the show. I've watched a little bit of clips on YouTube and Plant recommended this to me recently, but I haven't had the chance to really go into it deeply.
It makes no sense that I am the person bringing this show because it is the most not me game and very much something that everybody else here will love. It is kind of very, very, very loosely auto chess like. In that you have a collection of pets and you spend money before a round to pick which pets you want to add to your lineup and then which bonuses you want to give them to upgrade them. And then you click go and then you watch your pets fight another team's pets online. And then
yeah, that's an auto chess.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically auto chess. I would just say it's auto chess if you made it so simple that everyone could enjoy it and not be super intimidated by it. It is great. It's really, really great.
What are you playing
and
on?
The art is cute. I don't think it's like fully finished yet. I don't think it has hit 1.0, but here's the most important thing. It's available on iOS. So that is definitely the place to play it. And then eventually delete it because it will consume your entire life.
Well, I don't want that to happen.
I want to try it out and understand it because I haven't gotten that far. I did see the cute little characters and I like them. They were cute.
I will say I was so skeptical of it because, again, not my type of thing. I played, you know, two or three rounds. I was like, this isn't really for me. And then a day later, I was like, well, it's on my phone. I should try it again. And then I won a couple fights. I was like, maybe in a couple days I'll come back. And then that third day came back and I was all in it. And I feel like that is the formula for these types of games.
Yeah. The 3 day rope-a-dope that they give you. What are you playing it on? What platform?
Yeah, iOS.
Right? I'm playing it on iOS, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I can do that.
I know.
I can do that. I have I don't want to brag, but I do have an iPhone device.
I don't know if anyone has in this group has actually played Cyberpunk since it hit whatever version
now,
update
why
that
would
was.
Why would I do that?
Everyone seems to really like it. I wanted to put it in I haven't played it, but everyone seems to really be pretty amazed that they were able to like make it a lot better.
Okay. These are the wages of not being on Twitter anymore, I feel like, is stuff like this where it's like, wait, you're telling me Cyberpunk's good now? You are shitting me. The only way I would know that is if I was plugged into some sort of application where people are like, hey, did you all hear? Cyberpunk's pretty good now. When you shoot a gun, the game doesn't crash. That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. Plant, you haven't tried it, have you?
Yeah, no, I've watched a few different videos on it, especially Digital Foundry of like how they cleaned it all up. I think people in video games like a comeback story a lot. And I also think that like maybe people were just a little bit like piling on when the game came out the first time around.
Yeah.
So it's just like mix of...
I mean, it was pretty bad.
It was a bad game. I will admit, yeah, we were piling on, but that's because there was so much to pile on to.
Yeah, I think also people were ignoring maybe some of the good parts because of, maybe you couldn't even see them because there were so much bad parts, right?
Yeah.
And now it's like, I don't think the game changed that much.
Well, I heard they like reevaluated the whole like skill system, and the skill tree is like completely different, and obviously the performance stuff. I don't know.
It's kind of amazing Anthem just got, you know, straight up canceled, because it feels like if you're willing to just be humiliated and spend a lot of money for 2 years, you can make anything into a hit.
Elden Ring Online. That is revisionist history a little bit. They did their best. I wouldn't say their best, but they put some, there was some sweat equity involved in Anthem's attempted salvation, I feel like.
What?
It was mostly bad ideas, like getting rid of the like fun loot exploits that people actually enjoy doing in that game. But
wow, Griffin, the one Anthem apologist left.
Oh, don't get me wrong, bad game, bad job, poorly done. But you know, they took a swing at fixing it, and they swung in the opposite direction.
Yeah, I also feel bad for that team, because didn't like the senior leadership just keep bleeding out through most of that game's development?
Yeah, they really didn't want to work on Anthem. Was the thing they kept saying.
It's possible. The Bob Dylan of video games.
Uh-huh.
Okay, somebody wrote Horizon Forbidden West, and I'm amending that with Dying Light 2. Because I think...
Oh, I didn't know we could do that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which one of these did you like?
I liked Horizon much, much better than Dying Light 2. But it is... Man, both those games just got their fucking lunch eaten by the ring that is Elden, and I hate to keep coming back to this, because I know there's people who are not vibing with Elden Ring, and man, this must be a really lonely time for them. But it's, these games came out and they have the, you know, a sort of shared scale and like foundational like design philosophy, and one of them does it about 100 billion times better than the other two. So
I mean, they are pretty different. I view them, I mean, granted there are a lot of similarities, but they're pretty different, I think, like from a minute to minute and like narrative standpoint, like visual design standpoint, like they're all pretty different.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you, like, you know, Horizon, the first Horizon, came out at like the exact same time as Breath of the Wild, and that's a drag, because there's definitely like the one that ended. I mean, the first Horizon, I know you didn't like it, Griffin, but I really liked it. And you're right, like there is this moment of like another open world game coming out right around the same time, and as much as I loved Horizon Forbidden West, you know, it's hard to not be totally, totally absorbed by Elden Ring right now.
But again, those people that don't like Elden Ring, like I have also seen lots of people who are like, I do not like Elden Ring, but boy howdy, Horizon's doing it for me.
Yeah.
So like, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Horizon is definitely the more approachable option of the two by like a mile. And I would say also, like, not to short shrift Dying Light, which again, like narratively pretty terrible, but from a like minute-to-minute like parkour standpoint, the best parkour game ever played. Feels amazing. I wish it was in not a zombie town, because enough already, but like that stuff is really, really good. So I think all these games kind of bring some of the table. There's just kind of one that is very close to my heart.
Our buddy Kirk at Triple Click Podcast on the most recent episode gave kind of like a taxonomy of these open world games, of like who is the type of player for each of these and why, and it was very helpful and very much clarified why something like Horizon Forbidden West is not necessarily for me right now. There have been times I really, really liked the original Horizon. But right now, when I started that game, that isn't the world that I want that much story in. When I'm in like that beautiful world, I just want to go have fun in that world. Mm. And when it keeps just pummeling me with story, and it's not even whether the story is good or bad, it's just not what I want at that time. And it's silly, because at the same time, I've been playing Dragon Quest XI on the Steam Deck, which story. And I love it. But
yeah, man.
But that's what I expect when I play it. Like when I go into that. That's what I want from that world, and it delivers. And I think there's this weird thing that we've seen with all, not all of these games, Elden Ring is the exception, but both Horizon and Dying Light, they're so intent on making you eat these vegetables before you get to do the thing that is the entire selling point to the game. And I just wish that they, I don't know, either had more confidence or more respect for the player is not quite right, but like realization of what the player actually wants from the game, which is weird because, again, they marketed it, selling it as like, hey, go have a huge adventure in a beautiful open world, not as, hey, talk to characters for the next 15 hours.
Yeah.
That said, all, right, all three of these are great games, I think. I think they're like all legitimately good.
Yes. What do we have? What happened next? And then what?
I mean, I guess Destiny 2, which you seem to like a whole heck of a lot.
Wow,
a lot of people, honestly, like a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, I mean, people are calling it like the best expansion they have done on Destiny.
And the best campaign I've heard that they've ever done.
The campaign is great.
Cabal or Nice Now? Is what I gleaned from the trailer. I was they're Nice Now.
Nice is, it's just a question of like which horrific astral horror sort of entity is forcing these big bad rhino people, these big bad rhino warmongers to like do war with you instead.
Have
of
we
on
seen
you.
Them without masks? Because I feel like they look like Grimace.
I think that's just their faces.
Oh,
it's tough to say. It's tough to say. It's great. I finished the campaign and did tried out all the new, game modes, and they're pretty great, but I have not even touched the grind of Witch Queen yet. Cause other big boy games came out that I've been, ensorcelled by, but it's fantastic, man. I think folks should play Destiny. I think it's a good game now.
I think I'm going to play the campaign at some point during the summer when it's a little bit quieter.
Honestly, with the big expansions like Witch Queen, like don't put any pressure on yourself to do anything else. Just like play the campaign
I'm not going to do like the raid push and all that stuff.
No, God, no. The raid does look fucking cool, but I'll just
watch it on YouTube. It's
Just play the campaign and don't worry about doing anything else because Destiny is still an extremely fun game to play. And I think they've done some stuff in Witch Queen to make it even funner. More fun. Is that it?
I think that's it for early. I'm sure there are some we missed. Feel free to shout them out on Bestie's Twitter. But those are the biggies for early 2022. Pretty busy stuff.
Yeah. It's some stuff has been talked about coming out this year that I don't actually know will actually come out this year. But if it does, great year for gaming, folks. We're back.
Half-Life 3.
Games are back in a big way.
Duke Nukem, baby. Okay, we're going to take a break, and after this, we're going to talk about the Ukraine bundle, which is just full of great games for a great cause. Okay, we're back. So, you can right now go to itch.io, itch.io, and you can buy the bundle for Ukraine, which is hundreds and hundreds of video games, rule sets for tabletop games, there's digital books, soundtracks, comics, just tons and tons and tons of stuff. And you can donate what you'd like to get all of this stuff, which would be worth just an incredible amount of money if you were to just buy it straight off Steam. So I thought we could talk about some of our favorite games on this to get people excited about it and then go and, contribute to the bundle.
Yes. So I think there are some like familiar ones that people will recognize maybe from other bundles, but these are obviously fantastic games if you've never picked them up before. Celeste being one of them. Baba Is You is another one. Great puzzle game. And A Short Hike. Those are like the three that jumped out at me. It was like, oh, these are like easy game of the year contenders that if you've never played them, you're in for a serious treat. And already, off of three games, you're getting a huge amount of value out of this bundle. What about you guys?
I mean, there's so much, man. CrossCode is on here.
Yeah,
like a great like twin sticks action RPG style game. Wander Song is on here, which is a neat little sort of adventure game. Super Hot If you've never played Super Hot, you should probably just go ahead and play Super Hot. There's a game on here I'd never heard of before called Minute Fun Racer, and it's like a racing game version of Minute, the game where you had like 30 seconds to explore, which is also on the bundle.
Yep.
Where you have like 30 seconds to explore before you die, and you have to like figure out how to like accomplish the different objectives of the game in that very limited time span. Towerfall is on here with all of its expansions. Like, yeah, it's basically every game that we've... Baldi's Basics is on here if you want to learn like why teenagers keep talking about that game on YouTube.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of people that might hear a lot of games, maybe don't play a lot of games, but want to get just dip a toe in. And I mean, for $10, which is the minimum donation, you're dipping a very... good toe in.
Yeah.
For what the fuck's up with you and toes?
I don't know. Like I'm just in a toe mood.
Door, like Russ's new thing. Hey, everybody, it's me, Russ. And I'm happy to announce I'm into toes now.
Yeah, they don't really do it for me, but I don't know. I guess I'm in a...
I guess there's some people that do, and you're thinking about the listeners. I can appreciate that.
Yeah, I am.
For people who listen to the show and don't play games, which is a surprising amount of people, there are two games on this that I recommend that you play. One is called Cloud Gardens, which is basically little post-apocalyptic landscapes, and you plant seeds on them to reclaim the earth. And it's like a puzzle game, but very, very simple puzzles. It's much more about kind of like a bonsai tree of, you know, the feeling of growing stuff rather than the challenge of playing the video game. And similar to that, there's a game called Mortician's Tale, which I adore. And it is about effectively the business of working at funeral homes. And it has a message that I won't spoil, but about like end of life and what we do with our remains that I think is really nice and special. And I was kind of surprised to see in a video game when I played it for the first time. The great thing about this, again, for all of these games is you can just try them. So something like Celeste, I know sometimes people are intimidated by, or Baba Is You, which is one of my favorite puzzle games of all time, maybe seem intimidating. Hey, you're getting in as part of this collection. What better time than now to give it a shot?
Yeah. Quadrilateral Cowboy is also on here, which is one of my favorite games of the last 10 years, maybe. It's by Blendo, so it's got the good jazz punk vibes, but also you've got a hacking deck that is just a crummy laptop that you go around and have to solve puzzles with. And it is so clever. It is such a clever game that's all about just sort of setting up pathways for yourself with like timed hacks of like, okay, open the door for 5 seconds, then shut down the security for 3 seconds. And you just make like paths for yourself that you sort of program out, and then you have to run them in first person. It is really, really fun. I love that game.
One more thing. Well, also Yinglet is on this, which I think Fresh recommended to me and I never played. Now I need to finally go play.
Oh yeah, very cool platformer where you're like a little Paramecium type thing.
But most importantly for our listeners, Towerfall is on this.
You said it already? You both acted like I didn't just say it. I didn't hear it.
I'm sorry. Well, I was just going to say, I want to emphasize it because a lot of people listen to our Best of the Decade episode and are like, Towerfall, really? Hey, go play the game.
Yeah.
Go play it with some friends.
I understand that it's not the best time for local co-op to sort of make its reemergence, but I mean, you can't do better than Towerfall in that department. So
you can't.
Okay, let's do some quick reader mail. We asked for some Ask Me Anything, and we got just that. You know, I'm just going to get a technical question out of the way. This one's from Rendezvous Fancy Takes Flight. Hey, Plant, I just finished the Besties Resties pod about Bang for Your Buck games, and I had never heard of Drop 7 until you mentioned it, and I'm very curious about it, but when I check Google Play, it seems the game doesn't exist. No way to access it? Sad news, the game is not available anywhere.
You're kidding me.
I am not. It has been... So, it was created... for Area Code. Area Code was acquired by Zynga. Zynga made an alternate version of the app, and apparently the app has just been, I guess, appearing and disappearing for the last few years. I reached out to Frank Lance, one of the creators of the game and the co-founder of Area Code, who now runs the NYU Game Center. And he was like, yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm not involved with it anymore. It might come back or it might not. So a really tough reminder of game preservation in the age of mobile games. You know what I really want to do is somehow buy the rights to this game from Zynga, because I'm sure that they have no interest in it. And then I can just release it to the world.
And then, ooh, and you do a video game podcast. So you just we could just say on the video game podcast, like, you gotta check out this new game.
Right. And like, we don't even have to talk about the rights part. And then I could charge like $100 for it.
Right.
Whoa. It's definitely worth $100.
And you don't even like really need to say that you own it.
No.
Yeah, you make money out. Like, that's a great. Why has nobody thought of that?
Oh, whoa. You know what, like, we could also say is we could mention it every week, and then we can be like, yeah, you have to like pay in-app purchases for like the next like 50 weeks before you get to the good part.
Yeah. That is true. I've heard
that's
that.
That's good.
This is good.
It's a related note. I went looking for Puzzle Quest 1 or 2 on iOS because Puzzle Quest 3 was such a letdown, and those games are also not available anywhere. And it's like, those are genre-defining games that are just like tears in the rain, just lost to time.
Yikes.
From Cameron, do you think this will be the long-awaited year where both Kirby and Sonic somehow get a good game?
No. Because the Sonic game's going to be bad, and that's all there is to it. The Kirby game, based on the demo that I played, which is freely available if anyone wants to try it, is going to be spectacular. I am like fully sold on it after the demo. The Sonic game, as Plant and I bet on, is going to be hot, fiery garbage.
Is the Sonic game like open world?
Yes, okay. Sort of. Open zone is what they're calling it.
Open zone?
It's open zone.
That's great.
I disagree, because most Sonic and Kirby games are actually pretty good. So already, people say that they're not, but like, let's review the tape. They're actually quite good. Sonic games that have come out in the past however many years, pretty decent. Sonic Mania, we all liked that one, right?
Sure, yes.
The Sonic the Hedgehog 4 games,
we should
that.
Only count the 3D games in this equation.
Okay, okay. So I agree that Sonic Forces and Sonic Lost World were not great, but before that, Sonic Generations, great. Sonic Colors, also great. Sonic and the Black Knight, okay, not good. Sonic Unleashed, not as bad as people think. Sonic and
Shadow.
The Secret Rings.
What about Shadow?
Shadow. Oh, you skipped. There are a lot more Sonic games than that, my friend. You just skipped right past. If you wanted to get a bad one, Sonic the Hedgehog, the 2006 remake where he kisses the lady.
That's low.
That's the bad one. But why? I mean, you know, Sonic doesn't make Sonic the creator.
Well, Sonic
of the
doesn't
Sonic
make
games.
Period.
No, he just runs fast.
He runs very fast, and he says funny shit, and he loves eating sloppy hot dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and same thing with Kirby. Kirby games are, for the most part, quite good. They're just not always made for, like, you know, pro elite gamers.
I don't want to bundle Kirby and Sonic games together, because I think Kirby's hit-to-miss ratio is much better than Sonic's hit-to-miss ratio.
They're not tied.
They're
tied, and you can't take them apart from each other. Kirby is the balloon that's going to take Sonic out of crap down. One more question from Bonnie. If you had to summarize yourself in 3 games, which games would you pick?
I think we should, given that there are 3 of us,
we
should each pick a game that represents ourselves.
Wow. That's not what the question asked for at all, but that's...
Because otherwise that's 9 games. That's going to take
forever. That's a lot of games.
That is a lot of games. I'm going to say... Probably Animal Crossing is in there.
Yeah.
Man, probably some MMO bullshit. I mean, it's tough to divide this from, like, the games I play a lot of. Is that how we are defining ourselves?
It says a lot about you what games you spend time with, I think.
That's fair.
And also, like, I don't know if I would call you, like, a Destiny person.
No,
like, I don't think that defines you.
I would never volunteer that. And then I would say Leisure Suit Larry, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. My game is Parcheesi. That represents me personally.
I mean, probably some Pokemon. Probably, I'm going to say Pokemon Leaf Green.
Mm. Oh,
no, Heart Gold.
Okay. That was a close one.
My Earthbound, Bo Jackson Baseball for the NES.
Yeah.
And that's it. I did it in two.
You don't really need any more than that.
No. Bo Jackson Baseball for the NES. What a game.
Oh, yeah.
That game
he knew video games. Among the other things that he knew video games.
That's true. He did know bonus games. a real reference for four people who are listening to the show right now. We did it. We made it through this episode.
Old sports fans is like the aged sports fans. Hey, have you guys been playing anything else that doesn't rhyme with Meldon Bing?
Griffin, did you play Triangle Strategy?
Yeah, I've played a couple hours of it and done two battles, I think. That we pulled an audible and decided not to do that game for this episode because we knew that it was a slow burn, as Casey Musgraves would say. And it is that. I love strategy RPGs. It's like my Jimmy Jammer, but the amount of just plotting dialogue that you have to get through to get to that stuff is even by my tastes, which I think trend in the direction of liking that stuff, is a bit unpalatable.
Do you like the combat systems though?
I mean, I don't think I've gotten to the point where the combat systems like establish themselves as being different at all from other strategy RPGs. It's also, and I don't know if this is I played Octopath Traveler and, you know, to a lesser extent, I think that the Bravely Second games kind of have that sort of visual aesthetic, but this is definitely in the Octopath Traveler, like gorgeous 3D or I guess 2.5D sort of pixel art vibe. It looks really blurry and not as good as I remember Octopath Traveler looking. And I'm wondering if it's because I am playing it on the OLED Switch and there's some sort of like scaling issue that was not true for Octopath Traveler.
Weird, because the resolution would be the same.
Right, yeah, I that's probably not it, and I'm a big
It's possible
dumb.
That, yeah, maybe it's just like more, they like down-resed it or
it
something.
It looks pretty blurry and not as good as I remember Octopath looking, but that's neither here nor
maybe,
there.
Maybe your vision is getting worse.
That's, I mean, that is absolutely true. I'm going to spend some more time with it. It's just this week has been kind of a mess with like sicknesses and other shit going wrong down here Austin ways, so I've not had like a ton of time to sit down with my Switch and spend time with it, but we'll see. Wait and see. Don't buy it until I tell you to buy it. You should always wait. You should always wait for the Griffin stamp of approval before you make any decision.
I've been testing Odin Pro, which is one of those new emulation handhelds. And setting up emulation remains just not
the
fun.
Worst. Yeah.
It's the worst. But the most important thing is I got Bust a Move 99 running on it.
Good.
And I am back in Bust-A-Move.
Yeah.
Bust-A-Move, I mean, the inspiration for thousands of iOS, Android puzzle games, the ones where you shoot a little ball at some other balls that are colorful and then they pop.
Yeah.
But, the art style here, it is delightful. It's just so crisp and colorful and it takes me back.
Was that the Dreamcast one?
99, I believe, is the Saturn one.
Ah.
Wow. Yeah, you know, for real gamers. And also, Turning Red comes out by the time that this episode airs.
Very exciting.
And people should watch it. It rules. I cannot wait for more people to see it.
It's on Disney Plus. It is a Pixar movie. I think it is in the vein of the more character-driven, less franchise-y Pixar movies like Soul and Luca. But I hear it's very good.
Yeah. Hey, I got an iOS game I've been playing. Can you believe it? It's a free-to-play roguelike called Guidus, G-U-I-D-U-S. And it is like a very sort of, at first glance, simple, like proper rogue-style game where you're going through dungeons sort of one step at a time and you bump into enemies to attack them. It is not turn-based like those sort of classic rogue games are. Like, everything is moving in real time, so you have to... So it's something between a classic rogue game and, like, a Crypt of the Necrodancer, albeit without the rhythmic element to it. And there's, like, a ton of different characters to unlock, and each one has their own sort of way of attacking or doing, like, special charging attacks. There's lots of free-to-play e-stuff, a lot of, like, opportunities to watch ads to unlock a new character or buff the ones that you've got now. But I would say that there is plenty to do without necessarily having to do that stuff. And it is fun. I have really liked my time with it. And it's free, so it's like, you know, there's no reason not to check it out. There's a lot to do there. Russ, I think you would get a lot out of it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Frosh, anything for you?
No, I've just been playing more Elden Ring in my spare time.
How are you? Just extremely. Can we have like 2 minutes of how's everybody feeling about it, liking it, feeling changed?
I'm having a very tough time convincing myself that it's not my favorite game of all time.
Yeah, I'm having the same. I think I'm nearing, I may be 4/5 of the way through the game. Like, I think I'm getting close, and I am already excited to like try it again because there's so many side quests that I have just missed. And a lot of like weapons and shit that I have gotten that I have not been able to use because of my build that I'm like, ooh, but next time though, look out.
Yeah, it's incredible. Spectacular. Chris Plant won't finish it, but I applaud him for trying.
When I finish it, I'm going to feel I don't know if I'll feel validated. I'll feel negged.
You know what's good about that? Win-win. Because if you don't finish it, I was right.
Wow. He's playing 4D chess. We can't fuck with that, Chris.
Okay, let's recap the games, because there are a lot of them today. Here we go. Nobody Saves the World. Pokemon Legends Arceus. Uncharted Legacy. Legacy of Thieves Collection. Ali Ali World. Super Auto Pets, which is free on iOS right now. Cyberpunk 2077, the remix remaster edition. Horizon Forbidden West and Dying Light 2. Destiny 2. Elden Ring. I dropped a little bit of Dragon Quest XI in there. For the Ukraine
Dragon
bundle.
Dragon Quest XI, holy shit. I'm so excited you're playing that game. That's one of my favorite games ever.
It's fantastic. We should talk about that on another episode when we're in the slow period.
Yeah.
Bundle for Ukraine, we talked about Tennis, Short Hike, Baba Is You, Celeste, Quadrilateral, Cowboy, Golf Peaks, Cloud Gardens, Mortician's Tale, Crosscode, Kingdom, Two Crowns. I don't actually know if we ended up mentioning it, but I'm including it here because I know Hoops loves it.
Yeah.
Wander Song, Super Hot, Quadrilateral, Cowboy again. I can't believe I wrote it down twice. Yinglet, and Towerfall. And then stuff we're still playing right now, Elden Ring, obviously, Bust a Move 99, Triangle Strategy, Guidus, I think is how you pronounced it, and then the film Guidus, Turning Red is on Disney Plus right now.
Man, it's a for media, it's a good time. For most other stuff, not as good, but man, media, keep it going, guys. You're doing great, media.
And then next week, who knows? Next week's going to be a surprise. Yeah. It's a mystery episode.
Well, here, we will disclose this fact. It's just going to be me and maybe a guest, but we do not know.
This may be Bestie's first ever one-hander. Russ is going to do his one-man show. It's called 501 Sundays, and it's all about his love of baseball.
I was raised in Brooklyn.
You could probably recite all of Billy Crystal. What is it? 700 Sundays? How many?
700 Sundays.
700 Sundays. So this is, man, I don't
think. Ice cream used to be so much better back then.
I would listen to that so. Oh, man. I would put that on repeat. I would fall asleep to that every night, Russ. Yeah. Chris, why don't you wrap it up? You've really taken charge of this episode, and I'm proud of you for it. You've done a great job.
Thank you so much. That's it for the besties. I am Christopher Thomas Plant on behalf of Griffin McElroy and Russ Frushtick and the missing Justin McElroy. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we're at the Besties Pod. If you want to leave a review, it helps, especially if you leave it on Apple Podcasts. But hey, you can really leave it wherever. I think Spotify does reviews now too, if you are on that platform. And hey, if you want to support us in other ways, we have a coin with a giraffe on it, and you can find that on the
McElroy Mark. It's not legal tender. We have to say that.
Correct.
Someone tried to buy a pack of cigarettes with one of these coins, and we got a mean letter from the from the IRS.
You could barter it for another animal coin. That's the only way you could do it.
Yeah, another podcast animal coin.
Yeah.
That's it, though.
And that's it for the besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best video games?
Besties!